Hello there, this is Mark, your fat friend from the Fat and Black Connection, and I'm here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about it, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Do me a favor and go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started on your very own. Good evening, everyone. I am Mark, your fat friend.
Now I'm James, your black friend.
And this is the Fat and Black Connection,
where we talk about anything and everything. Well, you know, of course, if it's interesting to us, of course.
Well, yeah, because otherwise, why are we talking about it?
Show.
So, speaking of interesting, which this show is, it is also a live and interactive show.
That's what it says up there.
Yeah, today is May 11th, 2022. It is 8:01 p.m. on the Pacific. So we are live if you're watching right now. If you're listening to us after the fact, you can message us on many different platforms. If you're watching right now, you can message us as well, as our damn Brian just did, checking in. Good to see you, Brian. And we're here. We want your opinions. We want to talk about what you want to talk about, as long as it aligns with what we want to talk about.
if our minds align, then we might bring you in.
So, James, I'm having a little drinky poo tonight.
And, yeah.
So this is a nice bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. And it looks, you know, half empty. Well, my grandmother, for my birthday, which was recent, thanks for getting me something, by the way, she got me this nice decanter. So it's some Johnny Walker Blue I'm going to be enjoying this evening.
All right.
I've got my Tommy Bahama ice cubes.
Oh.
So that I can get the coldness of the drink without the diluting waterness. It.
Yes, of course. Yes.
So what are you going to be drinking this evening?
Well, we've been talking about it, and I finally found one. So this is the Stone Cold Steve Austin Broken Skull American Lager.
Wait, that's the American Lager?
Yeah.
Where did you get that?
I found it at Total Wine.
Oh, this guy.
I found it, and I waited to pop it open for the show. So,
well,
yeah, I found the IPA. I didn't see it at Costco like you found it, but I found it at Total Wine. And so, yeah, let's give this a. Not horrible. Actually, you know, it's weird. I like the IPA better.
It's not horrible. Well, that's a way to sell it.
Well, it's not like it's definitely a lager. It's definitely a lager. Like it has that kind of distinctive lager taste. But I don't know. Maybe because I had the IPA just before or something. I don't know. So maybe I didn't cleanse the palate or whatnot. But hold on. Yeah, it's a lager for sure. I'm not gonna lie. I actually prefer the IPA right now.
Interesting. I still want to try it, so I'm gonna keep looking for it. Hopefully, get to try it here in the near future. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you watching and or listening, him doing that little he actually does that whenever he tries a new beverage. So that's nothing new. So, James, it's been another week. What have you been up to?
Man, just sleeping, going to bed early, waking up early, and, you know, doing the thing. You know what? Actually, this past week, so normally once, maybe twice a year, normally when the weather starts changing, I get like this weird allergy attack. Mm-hmm. And that happened to me this week. What was that? I think it was Sunday at work. And all of a sudden, like the left side of my face, like my eyes started watering, my nose started running. It was horrible.
Not about that business, huh?
Yeah. It was probably my worst. It was like my worst day just because like I was still pushing through, but it was just like, people were like, what's wrong? And I was like, nothing. It's like an allergy. So I was just like, yeah. So like just, it was literally just the left side, or actually, sorry, the right side of my face, not left side, right side. And it was just, my eye was watering, my nose was running. And I was just like, this is, why now? But it's over now. So we're good. We are good.
Well, that's good to hear. So up here in Northern Nevada, it has been radical, man. Last week, the weather was pretty nice. It was windy a couple days, but it was pretty nice. Mm-hmm. It was even up into the 70s 2 days, I think. This week, we're back into the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and Sheesh. It has been on and off snowing.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better down here, we've had the day that we had another dust storm blow through, where I saw it when I was driving home. I was like, this isn't going to be good. And that's actually the same day my my nose and everything started kicking in. Excuse me. But yeah, so we've had wind that's just been howling. We have had, it was hot. It's been a little bit warmer in the afternoons. It's still like, apparently this coming up week, we're supposed to get into triple digits for the first time in a while, so we'll see. But yeah, the weather has been absolutely nutty here too. So
yeah, so like I said, snowing, right?
Yeah.
And on Saturday, they're saying it's going to be 80 degrees. Yes. Now, I will say it hasn't been sticking, at least down
it's just
here.
Been like,
up in the mountains, it is. They've had chain controls. So that's a little nutty.
May, especially, yeah.
But it's been kind of nice because out of one side, because, you know, middle of my day, I'm sitting there doing work and I look out the window and, oh, hey, it's snowing. And so I'll go stand outside for a minute, catch some.
What was that again?
But yeah, it's definitely been interesting. Other than that, nothing special going on here. Just working.
Yeah.
Living life.
That's all we're doing right now.
Living the dream.
Every day I'm hustling.
Speaking of living the dream, I want to take a moment to give a shout out to our friends over at Secrets of Heritage House. Congratulate them on another milestone. Just a few weeks ago, we had announced that they hit 25,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And a mere less than 2 months later, they're up to 50,000 downloads.
Congrats.
That's crazy to see that kind of growth in just a short period of time.
Yeah.
I can tell you as far as their Facebook page goes, because I have admin access on there. It is growing exponentially. I think at the start of this year, there was maybe 250-ish followers. Oh, wow. And now it's up over, I think it's almost 700. So it's growing. And obviously that's just Facebook, right?
Yeah, there's gonna have to be another season now, baby.
You know, you gotta do what the fans want. And so I think if there is enough of a call for it, I know that the finale is coming, the season finale. It's gonna be a huge epic three-part episode. Episode finale.
Yeah, I got to go back because I think I somewhere along the line, I was listening to, I didn't listen to the most recent episode, but I was listening to last week's episode. And like, I'm like, bro, did I miss something along the way? But so I got to go back and listen to the last episode before the three episode arc, listen to the arc again, and then listen to that, and you know, finish up with the last two episodes, just so I can make sure that I'm all together. It's been kind of discombobulated, but overall, it's been a good show. It's been a great show.
We got Tyrus checking in, who is also a part of now the family of Secrets of Heritage House. You'll hear him in a new episode coming soon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, welcome to Heritage House, Tyrus. And, he's got a pretty awesome role. So, also a member of Murphy's Inc. So, yeah. It's fun times out here. So it's nice to work with the absolutely. It's nice to work with people you like and people you know when you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not always an option, but luckily we've been able to tap into a lot of good, talented people. So
yes, sir.
Let's on that note, I did mention that Secrets of Heritage House switched its platform. Which is part of why I think they had some huge growth in their numbers. So I decided to follow their lead, and I have switched Fat and Black Connection. We are now broadcasting our podcast format is going to be through Podbean moving forward. So we'll see if we can have some similar success and some large growth.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't think I'll hold my breath, but nah. We'll see. You know, our former host, Anchor, they're great. We didn't leave them because we weren't happy with what they were providing, but we thought let's check something new out and see what we get.
That's what we do. We just move around a little bit, you know, and things change. We got to evolve. And so now we're available in a couple other places now, right?
Yeah, we are on Amazon Music now. Nice. It looks like they're also going to be putting us on, give me just a moment, Pandora.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yep.
Step up.
And TuneIn, which is through Alexa.
TuneIn, that's the FM radio. I had that for a while, so yeah.
We're also getting added on to Samsung. I guess they have an exclusive podcast player, as well as a new podcast database called Podchaser. So,
I'm gonna have to go look us up on all these things now.
Yeah, so some new,
got a lot more places to look us up,
new platforms, and hopefully that'll result in some new ears listening. Hey. Which hopefully, if they're listening to us, they'll decide, hey, I want to watch these guys.
Yes.
Yeah. They sound ridiculous and they probably look ridiculous too.
So tell your friends, tell everybody, we're coming for you.
Let's talk about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the NBA playoffs. We got a game going on tonight. The Warriors getting a mud hole stomped in them, down by 39 by the Grizzlies.
Yeah, it's not
in the third quarter. That is not pretty. So right now where we are, we're in the Elite Eight, if you will.
Yeah.
And every series today is at 3-2, except for the Warriors, which after today will be at 3-2.
Should be at 3-2, yeah, the way it looks.
The Warriors had the opportunity to close out tonight.
Yep. But yeah, Memphis decided they didn't want to stay home. So
yeah.
They decided they want to go back to Oakland or San Francisco and get whooped on. So we'll see.
Now, the interesting thing, looking at all of the games so far for each of these series, the only series that has looked truly competitive to me is Milwaukee and Boston. Because Miami, Philadelphia, it's been lopsided in just about every game. And yeah. Same thing with Phoenix, Dallas. They just seem to go back and forth and again, lopsided. So I think Milwaukee and Boston is probably going to go to 7.
Okay.
I think realistically, because it looks like Dallas is at home for their next game and so are the 76ers, I think those are probably both going to go to seven. So I think the only series that may not go to seven is Golden State, because I think after getting mollywhomped tonight, they're going to want to come back out.
Yeah, they gonna show up, show out. Actually, that's the thing. It's like, you know, at least like at the beginning of the game, this game, Klay Thompson has actually been able to fire off. See, he started to fire and get on fire. And yeah, so it's kind of like last game, he couldn't get anything going. But we'll see.
So as of right now, with where everything is and what we've seen, are you still sticking with Golden State, Miami in the finals?
That's what I'm sticking with.
And you're still sticking with Miami to win?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. That's where the heart's at. That's where the heart's at.
No, I get it. I mean, you know, you've got you in your house and you're a Heat fan. You've got your brother in your house who's a Warriors fan who loses his mind evidently when the Warriors start to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's even worse when I'm trying to, you know, because I go to bed early. So I told him the other night, I was like, yo, I'm going to need you to go watch this game someplace else.
Yeah, it's just a game. It's just a game.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw the video after Dallas lost in the playoffs. Some dude literally like punched his TV and it fell on the floor, and then he shot it. I mean, literally pulled out a gun and shot his TV. I was just like, yikes.
Maybe he's got money.
Maybe, but I was just like, yo, never that serious. Never.
Nothing is that serious.
Ever.
We got a new poster.
I like it.
For Lightyear, which, you know, we've watched the two trailers that have come out so far.
Yeah.
I like the poster. I think it looks fun. But I'm still not sold on this movie yet.
I mean, I'm going to, you know me, you know me for sure, but like Disney Pixar, I've loved pretty much everything that they have put out. Even the stuff that was kind of on the sly. Like I enjoyed Luca. I enjoyed Onward. I loved Soul. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward to see what they do with Lightyear. That's the only thing. I want to see how this whole thing works, because I just want to know how it fits in with the toy. Or is it like, did he make the toy, or did the toy make the movie, or kind of what's going on? I don't know, but I'm interested. I'm really excited to see what this is. That cat's also kind of funny to me. I don't know.
You're not a big fan of cats usually, so.
I'm not a fan of cats, but that cat seems very funny to me.
We got our first poster and our first trailer.
Yes.
Avatar, The Way of Water.
Not a fan of the title.
Yeah. What's going on, Jimmy? We got Jimmy checking in.
Brother Davis.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but obviously this trailer was released purely to air in front of Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness. That's up until, I believe, just yesterday. That was the only place you could see it, and now they have released it.
Oh, no, I saw it on IMDb. I guess Doctor Strange had come out already. So, yeah, so you're right. Yeah, never mind.
Yes, I am right. Thank you.
Yeah, just kidding. I just thought about that.
Yes. So the one thing I'm going to say is it looks beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what's going on in this film.
Yeah. So what I'm also trying to figure out is that it looks like I thought the humans left after the events of the first film. I thought they were basically like, pack up, leave, don't come back type deal. But in the trailer, I don't know if you saw it, Actually, there was 2 points. It looked like there were, what were they called? The Na'vi, I believe the name was.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they had two of them working with the humans. Now, one of them looks strikingly like the general or whatever he was with the, you know, the flat looking like Guile from Street Fighter, looked a lot like him with the haircut and everything in this film, working on the platform. And then later on in the trailer, had him coming out of the water with a gun. So I know his thing got broken, and I don't know if he got his mask on in time. So what I'm thinking is that they, in order to save him, they had to transfer him into the people that he despised. That was basically he was trying to eradicate. So I'm thinking he might have, there might be something where he's still around in this Na'vi body, where he's working with the humans and he's now trying to just destroy the people, you know, destroy more people that are, don't align with what he thinks this world should be type deal.
You pulled a whole lot out of your butt right there from this trailer. So if you're even in a mere iota correct, I'm impressed, because I got nothing out of this trailer aside from some beautiful visuals.
And it looks like there's a, there looks like there's almost a hybrid of human and Na'vi. Like it looked like there was, he was like lighter. He wasn't blue. He was almost like a grayish tan type color. But it looked like there might be some kind of either hybrid or maybe there was a mix of something. I remember seeing that in the trailer, and I was like, huh, that's interesting.
So Tyrus calls out that he's thinking it's going to focus on one of the tribes. If you remember, they did unite tribes in the first film. Right. So maybe it's focusing on a different tribe. I mean, did see some of the characters from the first film.
Yeah, they've already said that there's a tribe. I mean, there's tribes all over the planet, and these ones are specific. Like, I remember after the first movie came out, there was talk about this whole thing about an underwater tribe. There's basically like a land tribe, a water tribe, and like an air tribe. So type deal. So, you know, that's, there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, James Cameron created this massive world. It's a planet that's huge. So there can be these characters all over.
Yeah. And last I heard, this is going to be part 2 of 5.
Three. Oh, I thought it was only 3. Oh, sheesh. Okay. So yeah. Out of 5. All right. Well, interesting. We'll see.
Yeah. So we will see where that heads, but, like I said, I enjoyed the trailer from
a visual standpoint. Yeah, absolutely.
But from the content, I didn't get much out of it.
Well, you know, they also like to keep that stuff under wraps too. So
we got our first look at, Thor and Lady Thor in their costumes in a still.
Looks good. Jane Foster.
Look at those arms on Natalie Portman.
Yeah, she got yoked. She hitting that P90X.
I'm guessing, because those, she got swole.
Getting some guns.
I love seeing Mjolnir with all the cracks in it, which clearly means it's been reassembled.
Yeah.
You know, I love Thor's costume. I don't love the trailer. I will tell you that my wife generally does not like to see the trailers for these films before we see them. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she saw the Thor Love and Thunder trailer because it played before Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, of course.
And she said that it actually made her less interested in seeing the film.
Oh. No, I mean, this has been one that I, like, when I heard about this one, I was like, well, I mean, it's Marvel, so of course I'm going to, excuse me, sorry. Sheesh. Just slip right out there. Where I knew I was going to go see it, But the trailer has made me a little bit, I'm like, what? He's like putting, he doesn't want to fight anymore? Like, what? Like, I mean, we kind of got that glimpse and he didn't want to fight anymore after he chopped Thanos's head off. But I was, I mean, it looks like at least he got back into shape. At least he got back into shape.
No fat Thor. Well, it looks like, it looks like we're probably going to get a montage. Because there in the trailer there is that moment of him like whipping big old chains. So yeah. I'm thinking, knowing the director Taika Waititi, that we're going to get like a training montage.
You know why we need a montage? It makes time go fast.
It does. South Park taught us a lot about how montages work. Anything that you want to go from just a beginner to a pro, you'll need a montage.
Exactly.
Now we're probably going to have to pay them for using that. But
yeah, well, we'll see. We didn't use enough of it, I don't think.
Yeah, it was only like 3 seconds, so we should be okay. So other news coming out this week, a new series that will be coming to Disney Plus eventually. Ahsoka started filming.
Yes,
and we'd already seen a logo for this, so that's nothing new. Yeah. Of course, I love seeing Dave Filoni's hat sitting there on the chair. I assume it's his because he's the one that tends to wear cowboy hats occasionally. So, you know, obviously going to be played by Rosario Dawson. We already know that.
I'm just hoping it gives me some what she did. I'm hoping there's some flashback stuff like that, kind of like they did in Boba, where it at least shows me a little bit after the last that we see of her in the final season of Clone Wars, up until, you know, kind of up until we kind of run into her on whatever planet that was in The Mandalorian. That'd be kind of nice to at least see a little bit of what she was doing in between there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if we did get something like that, considering that's exactly what they did with Book of Boba.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it. It's a double-edged blade, right, to see this kind of photo, because it's like, oh, you started filming. Oh, that means you're probably 9 months away from releasing.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll have some stuff. Oh, that's also another thing. Yeah, Tyrus mentions, I do hope we get some answers about Ezra. You don't know who Ezra is, you need to go watch Rebels on Disney Plus. That was a great series, by the way. But anyways, back to Ahsoka. Yeah, I'm super excited for this show. I've loved what they've done with her so far, just the little bits that we've seen from the last season of The Mandalorian, and then seeing her most recently working with Luke in Book of Boba. So really interested in see what we get out of the series.
Agreed. 100%. So last week we alluded to the series or season finale of Moon Knight.
Yeah.
We didn't really go into depth since it had just released that day. Yeah. But it has been a week. So if you haven't watched it, then shame on you.
Shame on you.
So let's talk about it. To me, I've had some time to look back and reflect on this series, and I'm just going to put it out there. Before this series came out, I would say my number one and number two Disney Plus Marvel Studios series so far had been Loki number one and WandaVision number two. WandaVision is no longer my number two.
Moon Knight moved up there?
Is like so close to Loki. Like Loki still edges it out. And I wonder if Loki hadn't already been such a well-established character and all of that. Moon Knight, for our first introduction to this character, just knocked it out of the park, I think.
Yeah, as not giving us, not seeing him in another film, so we didn't have somebody already established, and so this was basically creating a character from the ground up. was very entertaining. This is another one of those shows. For some reason, I feel I want to be able to watch it in one congruent story. No credits in between, no breaks, just it'd be a long, really super long movie, but you know, kind of just without not commercials, but no breaks in between. Just give me each episode back to back to back. So
if you add it all up, it'd only be maybe 4 hours.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't need the recaps, all that kind of stuff. Just give me each episode back to back.
I'm taking that into account. I'm saying if you remove all that, strip it away, it's probably about 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so like, I mean, I would like if Marvel did that, like after the series was done, you know, they would, or you know, Disney Plus, wherever, they would kind of maybe just put it out there, just like
a supercut.
Yeah, like exactly a supercut. I would like to see that with, you know, because I definitely, if they did that, I would go back and watch WandaVision. I'd watch Loki again. Actually, I'd watch Loki a couple more times. Like, that was actually a really good show.
I don't think they need to do that with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
No, I don't think that. I mean, because I think that actually, that worked out fine. Apparently, did you hear about that whole thing that apparently another cut got released that was apparently more violent, but they took it off or something like that?
You had mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I've seen nothing about that.
Yeah, I saw a couple things about it, but I was just like, "Yo, like I don't know. I would like to see what that was all about."
So Tyrus calls out, "Folks complain about the length of Justice League Snyder version. Don't you think it would be the same?" Well, the people who complained about that version are not true fans. If you're a fan, you're not going to complain about getting more content or getting it in a different format.
And apparently the Snyder version, and I still haven't sat down and watched it, which I need to. Maybe I'll do
No, you don't.
But no, apparently the Snyder version actually kind of fills in some holes that we had from the Justice League film.
I put myself through it, and I don't know. I didn't feel any better about DC in general than I did before. And you know, as Brian calls out, he'll sit through a full Lord of the Rings marathon. And that's, I'm talking about the full, I hope he's talking about the full
length,
unedited, like, yeah, you know, Peter Jackson special, 4 hour editions, you know, 'cause I've done that too. If it's done well and it's done, you know, right, then I don't care if it's too long.
Did he do those with the Hobbit films?
Don't know. Didn't follow those ones so much. I don't know. Maybe Brian can speak to that. I hope not, because I've watched the Hobbit films and they're kind of disappointing. It was the opposite effect, where you're taking one book and you're making it into three films that didn't really need that much.
That's what I was wondering about, because I thought The Hobbit was only like one book.
It is, where Lord of the Rings is truly three separate books.
Yeah, okay.
And in those films, even the director's cuts, there's still stuff that is left out. So I don't know. I do think that the Snyder version, and we're going off on a tangent here, of course, but I do think that the Snyder version was better. And so I will agree with Tyrus there that it was a better version than the original. But the story was still, it was not great. And while it did fill in some of those gaps that you referenced, I still could have gone the rest of my life without ever seeing either of those films, and I would have been perfectly fine. To me, I want DC to pay me for 6 hours of my life back.
Oh man, I still remember. Sorry to go off on this, but anyways, let's get back to what we were talking
back
about.
Back to your Moon Knight point of combining all the episodes, or with Loki, or I think that's a great idea. I would love to see Marvel do a supercut of these series, less What If. I don't think it needs it. Less Falcon Winter Soldier. I don't think it needs it. Heck, Hawkeye doesn't even really need it.
No,
But I do think Moon Knight, it would absolutely benefit, and WandaVision for sure. Loki, again, I think it could take it or not.
Right. I think I like, but Moon Knight is one of those that you give me a supercut of Moon Knight, I would be super happy just to watch it all in its entirety. Because, you know, when you go a week, you know, you watch an episode, you go a week, you watch another episode, and some series it works out just fine. But this is one of those series, if I had just a, like you said, a supercut version of it, I think would make it sublime.
And ultimately what you're saying is that you're unwilling to just sit in front of your TV and hit skip intro or skip credits.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll do it, but I mean, it just makes it easier. So I can just kind of, so I don't have to worry. I can just kind of just watch it.
So talking about the show a little bit more, the finale, the show overall, the one thing that I will say that I was a little bit disappointed in with the finale is genuinely considering it was the final episode was on Wednesday, the week Multiverse of Madness was opening. I fully was expecting there to be some connection, which at least from, let's just talk about the finale. As far as I could tell, finishing that series, I didn't see that there was going to be one.
Yeah.
And so that was, and that's not their fault. That's me like getting hyped up in my own head. Yeah. It's not like they ever said that that would happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Tyrus references a sneak peek at the third suit in Moon Knight. I didn't catch it. So maybe he can tell us where that is so I can go back and watch it, because I did not catch that. And what he's alluding to, the third suit, as I told you, after I believe episode 3 or 4, when we see that other sarcophagus shaking, and I kind of was like, okay, I think that's going to be another personality within him.
Yeah.
Well, we did get in a post-credit scene. I was right.
Yeah. And actually, it was funny because after the show, I have my Marvel encyclopedia. And so I went to look that up. And so I went to go look up Moon Knight because I didn't want to look it up prior to. I just wanted to, you know, kind of be surprised as I, you know, with a character I'm not super familiar with. And there's three different personalities there. And so we saw two throughout the entire series, and then we saw that third. So I'm interested to see where that goes, because that definitely gives us an opening to another season. You know what? Actually, the one thing I was the huge, I guess, the big boss fight, I guess, if you will. I was a little sad that that was so quick.
We had talked about, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but we had talked about how Call of Duty is doing Operation Monarch with Godzilla and King Kong.
Can I tell you right now? Hold on one second. I saw a trailer for that on PlayStation today, and it looks even more ridiculous. But almost what it looks like, there are these downloadable masks or something, but it looked like one character had like a King Kong type mask on, and the other had this Godzilla looking mask. So I'm thinking it's King Kong versus Godzilla, but I think it might be these characters siding with King Kong or siding with Godzilla fighting each other, not trying to
fight. Oh no, I can tell you exactly what it is, because I know now. So it's a 16 player map broken into 4 teams of 4.
Mm-hmm.
2 teams for Godzilla, 2 teams for King Kong, and each team is given its own unique abilities based on who they side with. Uh-huh. And King Kong and Godzilla are battling, and you're trying to attack your opponents and the whoever you sided with, their opponent. So if you sided with King Kong, then you're trying to go after Godzilla. And then if you do something, then you get a unique ability to utilize King Kong or Godzilla to target your opponents.
Oh.
It seems absolutely ridiculous. Still
don't care, but I'm saying, like, I remember when we talked about this, I was like, what?
But
what
I gotta say, that final fight, that was King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah. Like,
that was just as ridiculous. I did not like it.
I like, and you know what? I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the movie, but when I saw that in video, I was like, no.
No, I'm talking about Moon Knight, because we had
Moon Knight. Oh, yeah, okay, the final fight you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, in that final fight in Moon Knight, that's what it was. It was Godzilla versus King Kong, kind of like falling on pyramids, like using them to brace themselves. It was It was a little bit too much.
I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it. I just think it was too fast. It was too fast for me. It was too fast because you had the whole thing with the field of reeds and him, like, basically, like, I'm not leaving him, so I'm gonna leave all this and I'm gonna go get him, and the, you know, all the doors open up and all this kind of thing. And I was just like, yo, like, okay, cool. And then this fight happens, and I'm just like, oh, this is so short. Why more?
I will agree with you. It did feel like the finale had way too much compacted into that one episode. It would have been nice to maybe see them stretch that out, give us a little bit more content. And Tyra says that in the end credits, when they show the title, you see a suit, then it changes to Mark's suit, then to Steven's suit. So I'm going to have to go back and check that out, because I guess I missed that. Credits? Yes, that's what he's saying. So.
Okay, yeah.
We mentioned it before, and of course, I thought that we would get something that maybe led into the multiverse of madness, Doctor Strange, and I think now is a good time to talk about that. This was, as a kid, this was my multiverse of madness.
Yes!
For those of you listening, not watching right now, there's an image from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Where you've got Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny parachuting alongside Eddie Valiant. I saw this and I was like,
jumping without a parachute. That seems crazy. You got a spare? I don't think he wants it.
The spare tire. My apologies. Not this multiverse of madness. This one.
That was too good. I'm not gonna lie. That was our multiverse of madness. Looney Tunes and Disney together, that was amazing. Anyway.
So this film came out on Thursday, 6 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was scheduled to come out on Friday. Most theaters, it released the day before, and I went and saw it on Thursday. When did you get to see it?
I actually went to go see it on Sunday afternoon? Yeah, Monday afternoon.
I'm going to preface any of my comments with the film was not at all what I was expecting. And that's not a negative.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Like I was expecting one thing and
Hold on.
My mind had already
Put the disclaimer out there really quickly. Right. So we're going to talk about this right now. So if you haven't watched Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, go away and we'll catch you later. Because we're going to talk about it in full detail.
I'm going to give you 10.
No, I'm not giving them that long. They get 3. 9. 2. 1.
All right.
First of all, Wanda?
What?
I mean, obviously we are given the explanation of her corruption with the Darkhold, and what it truly does, but all of the trailers and everything led me to think that Wanda was going to be working alongside Doctor Strange to stop something.
Right. That's exactly what I thought. And that whole thing I was just like, wait, what? Oh, time for another pour.
So let's start at the top of the film. Yeah. We get our opening scene with clearly a variant of Doctor Strange, of Stephen Strange, running through this awesome looking area with who we become introduced to as America Chavez.
Yep.
And one of the very interesting things about that opening scene to me is the line that Stephen delivers to America Chavez in the grand calculus of the multiverse, your sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. That's the exact same line he used in No Way Home with Peter, but two different Stranges. So to me, it kind of clearly shows that Stephen, regardless of which universe he's in, he is who he is. And right. And he's always put himself in a situation where he has to take on more than is necessary.
Right. Because he feels he needs to.
Is Tyra saying he hasn't watched this yet?
I wasn't excited to see it. I forced myself to see the first movie. What?
Tyrus, I don't know what's wrong with you. This film, you need, if you're still there, you need to go watch this.
Yeah. Yeah. Bye. What? How are you not excited to see this film? I mean, if you watch WandaVision alone, like, that would make you excited for this film.
I thought there'd be What If, it only makes it that much.
Yeah, and then the thing, I thought it would have a little bit more, like, with Loki at the end of time, all that kind of stuff. I thought that might involve it, but whatever. I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm... Oh, okay, so let's get back to our dissection, if you will.
Right.
So they're clearly there trying to get the Book of Ashanti, which is the anti...
Darkhold.
Darkhold, right. the light and the dark, right? They kind of combat each other.
You have to have yin and yang.
Naturally. And so, of course, there's this creature that is trying to stop them, which clearly we later find out is being controlled by Wanda.
Or was hired by Wanda, at least.
Something.
It has runes.
And ultimately, this Steven, this variant that we're introduced to, gets killed.
Right.
And Steven does try to take America Chavez's power, which she has the ability to hop between universes at will. Eventually, once her power comes, right.
It was more of a when she got super scared, it would just take her to wherever she was going, wherever she ended up. So
yeah, so now they're in our universe, if you will, and that is officially now known as 616, which is obviously fan service because in the comics, our universe is 616.
Yeah.
And there have been multiple references to Universe 616. Mysterio made the reference, which is even more weird. How
did he know about that?
Right, considering...
He wasn't actually an alien.
Right, or an interdimensional being or anything like that.
Or, the interdimensional being.
It was also referenced in one of the Thor films by Dr. Selvig. He had it written on a chalkboard.
Oh, okay.
So it's always been fan service. I don't think any of those things necessarily link. I think it's, just been a plug. Coincidence where this time it's kind of more, I think, official that we are 616.
Yeah.
And so in our universe, we see Steven, our Steven, going to a wedding. And of course, it's the wedding of his love that he screwed up. And Tyrus is trying to justify why he hasn't seen it.
No justification. No excuses.
Yeah, go see it.
Yeah.
And then a fight ensues because there's a big tentacle monster crawling through New York.
Yeah.
Can't have that. Come to find out, it's chasing America Chavez.
Yep.
What did you think about this whole opening and into this opening scene with Steven and his ex-girlfriend?
I was, you know what? It was, it was one of those things where it was kind of like, okay, this has to play into something else later, and of course it did. And but I think it was a nice scene, because apparently she didn't get blipped, but he did. And the whole thing, we told you,
we gave a countdown and everything.
Yeah, we told you. I think it was one of those things where this was a needed opening. It was a needed opening to kind of set up. It really set up the rest of the film. Truly, it did. From everything else to everything that else that happens, that moment between the two of them is exactly what we needed to set the film in motion.
Yeah, and I got to say, you know, I'm not going to go scene by scene in this film. But I do think, you know, getting to see that kind of, it felt like some finality in that situation.
She's married now, so
yeah, which was nice, and she married a nice young black man. So did that make you happy?
I was just like, I wasn't expecting it, but I was like, oh, okay, we're doing that now. All right,
yeah, why not?
Hey,
so
I would marry her. Not gonna
I
lie.
Gotta say, I love Wong.
This was I think this is the most we've seen Wong in a movie.
I agree, but we've been getting more and more of Wong over the last little while, and I thought I really enjoyed him in like Infinity War, the brief cameo that he had.
What, you wanted more?
Well, that was Endgame.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But I was gonna reference that as well. And then in Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
He had a brief cameo that was really good.
Oh, the fight. Yeah, the fight and then at the end.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi, so you come too. Yeah.
So seeing him in this, man, I like Wong. I'm enjoying the character, and I don't know if it's going to grow.
I hope it does, because he absolutely needs he needs to be more involved.
And he is the Sorcerer Supreme
right now. Yes, absolutely, he is the Sorcerer Supreme. So,
now we have Steven go to see Wanda to be like, "Hey, Chica, you know some magic. I think this is some magic we're dealing with.
I might need your help.
I might need your help. Can you help me out?" And she's like, "Yeah. Why don't you bring America to me?" Oh. You never said her name, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And that's when everything went sideways from my expectations.
Exactly. That's when I was just like, huh?
Yeah. So spoiler, Wanda is the big bad of this film.
Yeah.
And my...
No. Scarlet Witch is the big bad in this film.
Fine. Fine. Okay. But what then proceeds is Wanda going to Kamertosh, basically destroying Kamertosh, to try and get America Chavez.
Yeah.
And of course, America gets scared, and her and Steven now go through a multiverse trip.
Yep.
I will say, and I'm just going to put it out there, I was disappointed that we didn't get to spend more time in some of those universes, that it was kind of like that Spider-Man through the multiverse where it kind of like shows them going through them all really briefly. I would have loved to see some more of some of those.
You know what? There might be some, I think we might get something later in that, but I was okay with the way that it kind of jumped. I definitely liked some of the sequences. They did great work on those sequences, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just, in the grand scheme of the film, I thought we were going to get more universes, if you will.
I understand what you're saying.
So now we're in universe 838.
Right.
Which, come to find out, the Strange of this universe, we're told, sacrificed himself to defeat Thanos.
Tell him the truth.
And then Strange and America Chavez get hooked up and put into prison cells. And then Strange gets introduced to the Illuminati, which are comprised of who, James?
That would be, in this film, Let's see. We had Captain Marvel.
Which is who?
Different Captain Marvel. Who is that?
That's Monica Rambeau's mom. She was in Captain Marvel, the first film.
Yeah, I couldn't remember who that was, but okay, now I know. I was like, wait, I know her. I was like, who is this? Okay, cool. Now I just couldn't. Yeah, I wasn't connecting. Anyways.
Okay.
So then we had,
Black Bolt, which Black is Bolt. The same character, same actor as from the series.
Oh, except he had the costume in this one. He didn't really have the costume in the series.
This is true.
And that's what I was expecting. I'm kind of glad that we got that.
We had a Captain America.
Well, we had Captain Britain, and that was AKA Peggy Carter, which yes. I was super stoked to see because she had the jetpack and everything.
So great to see Hayley Atwell.
Yeah, I was glad to see her back because we missed her kind of in the last film due to the fact that she died. Anyways,
we had the Sorcerer Supreme in this universe.
Yes, who it was? Mordo. Yeah. Who also didn't like Doctor. Who also didn't like Strange in this universe too.
We had the smartest man in the universe.
That, aka Mr. Fantastic,
also known as Reed Richards, played by
Zach. Oh, no. I was about to say Zachary Lee. It wasn't him. No, I'm sorry.
John Krasinski.
Now, this is what I've been hearing so much since they announced that the Fantastic Four was coming, that John Krasinski was going to be Mr. Fantastic. Now, I don't know if they just did this to kind of throw people off the scent or if he's actually going to be the Mr. Fantastic in the new series.
I'll comment on that in a second. Who else?
Oh. My man Charles. Yo, and when he came out in the yellow wheelchair, bro.
And the music when it hit the 97 X-Men music.
I was like, yo.
Yeah, the audience in my theater went nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. We've never seen that chair since the beginning. People were like, yo, why is he not in that chair? They saved it. They saved it for a perfect moment.
Yeah, it was the interesting thing. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a seventh chair in that scene that was empty. I really want to know who that's supposed to be.
I'm thinking that must have been Strange's chair then.
Well, you would think that the Sorcerer Supreme has a chair, and so that would be Baron Mordo taking his chair. So I think that other seventh chair, I think, belongs to Namor.
Okay.
I think we'll find out, but he was not there. So we have this epic scene where these characters get introduced. and it's so brief. It's so brief, man. Because then Wanda, who is dreamwalking and has possessed, Scarlet Witch, who is now dreamwalking, possessed a Wanda in that universe and is now fully assaulting the Baxter Foundation building and proceeds to fight everyone in there.
Oh, is that where that's supposed to be?
Yes. And the building is patrolled by Ultra Bots.
Which, if you've actually played the most latest game, you know about the Ultron Bots.
Well, and here's what I'm really curious about, because we didn't see an Iron Man, which in our universe, Iron Man created Ultron. In the comics, Hank Pym created the Ultron Bots. So I'm not sure what happened there, but... Tyrus, walk away again because we've got more spoilers coming. Take another five because I don't want you to hear some of this stuff if you're going to watch it. But then Wanda comes in, proceeds to wreck shop, and the Illuminati's like, all right, let's go handle this.
Yeah. Thought it would just be an easy, like, okay, look, let's just shut this down. Let's end it. And we can all just walk away from this. And Wanda's like, oh, okay, now I'm going to wreck shop.
and she proceeds to literally wipe out the entire Illuminati, aside from Baron Mordo.
Yeah.
He may have, and as far as we know, he walked away from it.
Yeah, but and just the way she did it was just mean. Just so mean.
She wiped them all out. Like, it was so cool to see all of those characters, and then in 30 seconds, they're all gone.
I mean, okay, like Captain Marvel and Captain Britain, they actually lasted a little bit longer, but not much longer. And I mean, it was still just super, it was one-sided. Like Wanda basically just wiped them all. And it was just, it was mean. It was mean what she did. It was mean.
We then proceed to, get to the final battle, if you will, where Steven gets to another universe where he finds another Darkhold and another Steven that he does battle with. And he ends up dreamwalking himself to take possession of the dead Steven from the beginning of the film to go fight Wanda. Yeah. And I got to say that end fight, for what it was kind of a letdown, but the whole film aside from that was so amazing.
And
the fight was good. Don't get me
wrong. Yeah. That's what I think it was what it needed to be, because he finally took that moment where she was like, she says, okay, I understand now, like you need to take my power. Like, I understand why you need to do that. And he's like, no, you're gonna, you know what you need to do. You know how to control it. You just need to control it.
Go handle business.
Yeah. And what she does, basically it took a Wanda to defeat the Scarlet Witch, type deal. And that was so amazing to see how it just kind of like how she needed to realize she became the monster that she didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it took this other Wanda to basically tell her, they will be loved. You don't need to worry about them. So you're good. You don't need to try and get to a universe where they are. You had them. I have them. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they like ran from her and they were scared of her, that's when it really kind of broke her. It was like, I'm not the monster here.
You
kind of are. Not even kind of. You are the monster.
Yeah. And one of the things that I felt like was really left unresolved was we obviously had another strange love interest, Rachel McAdams, in 838, and they seem to kind of have a feeling of emotion, and it feels left unresolved finishing the film. Would you agree, or did you feel like
that was also one of those things where I think he also realized is that, like, I think they both had that realization, if we were from, and where she, because she even says, I would love to see your universe. But I think it's one of those things where, no, we had what we had here and it didn't work. We had what we had. It just doesn't seem we work in any of these. This connection, thank you for bringing me in, because this is what I needed. I needed to have some closure to, you didn't have to do everything. I wanted to help you. You wouldn't let me. And so I think with that, like you, him letting her in and helping him to wake up when he needed to, type things. I think that's what was really important, but they still know, like, this isn't, if we were maybe in the same universe, maybe, but we're not. So this isn't going to work.
So then we get to the end of the film, and everything's kind of wrapped up. We don't know what's going on with Scarlet Witch. As far as we know, she's potentially dead. She's brought a building down onto herself, but there my gut tells me.
There was
me,
a blip. There was a blip in there. I don't know if you saw the flash. I think she pulled the building down because she needed to, but I think she also had the whole self-preservation thing. So I think that needed to happen too.
Yeah. I highly doubt that she's done.
She can't be. She's still got a contract.
Yeah. Right. And we proceed to see a post-credit scene, if you will, where after the first round of the character credits, we proceed to see Steven walking down the street and grows a third eye.
Now, is that supposed to be the, I can't remember, the eye that held the time stone?
Mm-hmm.
What was that called?
Eye of Agamotto?
Yeah, is that what that's supposed to be?
No. There's the third eye is referenced many times in the Doctor Strange films and in the Doctor Strange comic books that we all have a third eye that, you know, sees, you know, into different areas.
Yeesh.
Update Warriors lost to the Grizzlies 95-134.
Jeez.
Thanks, Tyrus. So the third eye showing up is supposed to be signed to a sign of him using the Darkhold, and the Darkhold takes everyone. And so it
even
has,
after they destroy it?
Well, it always will have a lasting effect on anyone that's held it or used
it. Okay. Used it. Okay.
So yeah. I think that's what that's supposed to signify. And then we get introduced to Charlize Theron. I'm sorry, Clea.
Yeah.
Who out of nowhere shows up and is able to rip a portal in space time, however you want to look at it.
Into what dimension?
Correct. Not a universe, another dimension.
That is, if you look at those colors, you should know that is the same dimension Dormammu. And so I did some, because afterwards I was like, what? And so I did some research. And yes, she's related to.
It's important to know with Clea, she has been a lover of Doctor Strange, a spouse of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
She's also been one of Doctor Strange's greatest villains.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, well, because she
is also related in the comics to Dormammu.
That's her uncle.
So, depending on how they're spinning this, this could all be a ploy, a plot to scheme against Doctor Strange. I guess we'll see.
I think this is a reference to, I think this was trying to tie, are you happy? Because if that's his wife later on, then, you know, that'll kind of help with that whole are you happy thing.
Yeah, maybe you're right. So James, overall, on a scale from 1 to 10, how do you rate that film?
I'm going to give that on its own, aside from everything before, I thought I was going to be about a 9.5. Now, after seeing the film, I give it I'm not going to give it a 9, but I will give it an 8.75.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought it was extremely well done. Not a 10. To me, Infinity War is probably it's the 10.
There's two movies that I will give the 10 to, and that is Infinity War, yes, I agree with you on that. And then the last Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Yeah, I would say that's yeah. I don't know. I think with the Spider-Man, I don't think I can give it a 10, only because if it wasn't pulling on nostalgia strings, like if all of those characters were newly introduced, but in the same storyline, and but we never had been introduced to them in the past. I don't know if it plays as well.
I think that's the way it needed to play, though.
I don't disagree, but for that reason, I don't think I can give it a 10. It's close.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, but I think those, I think out of all the movies, I think those are probably the 10, like the, for me, there's only two 10 films. So like this one is high and 8.75. I don't give that, that's really begrudging, but I know it sounds kind of bad, but I give it, because I didn't want to give it an 8.5 because it's better than that. So that's why I gave it an 8.75, because I don't think it's quite, it's not that same level, but I think for what it was, it gave us enough, and it gave us some to and more investment in the characters, and it introduced us to this. We kind of got introduced to the multiverse in film wise. We got introduced to the multiverse a little bit in Endgame, and we got like more introduced to it in Spider-Man, and this was the true unraveling of.
Yeah, Tyrus asks, what about Endgame? And Endgame for me, it's up there. It's a 9.5 probably. It's not quite a 10. Absolutely.
Yeah. There were small issues with Endgame for me.
Yeah. Anytime you do a time traveling movie, it's hard because
unless you're Back to the Future, I loved all three of those movies, but that's beside the point.
I know. Still, you say, if I can correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't 3 your favorite?
No, 3 is not my favorite. 3 is not my favorite. I definitely enjoy 3, but number 2 is actually my favorite.
Well, 2 is the best. So, and Brian will tell you, as far as Brian is concerned, of all the Marvel movies, this one is the latest. And that is a true comment. I agree with you 100% Jeez. There, Brian.
this guy.
And we do have Miss Marvel coming very soon in less than a month now. So,
oh yeah. Is it so? Okay. Yeah. So I'm excited for that because
we've got Obi-Wan coming up in just a few weeks. We've got Miss Marvel starting. It sounds June, like right? before late, that even finishes
late June. I thought it was going to end up being late June.
Yeah. It's somewhere in there. I believe it's less than a month. So.
And you know what, actually, I'd really be excited about is if in Miss Marvel we get introduced to some of those other characters like Squirrel Girl and stuff like that, that, you know, we saw it in the posters at DCA.
Yeah, that could absolutely, it would be a good time to do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's shift gears one last time. It's time for a cheap plug. It's time for us to talk about our Alaskan cruise on the Norwegian cruise line ship Bliss. This is going to be a short one.
Here you go, Brian. Here's your plug for the week.
This is going to be a short one. We're really just going to focus on alcohol. Because why not?
I don't know.
Well, and every adult on the cruise that's a part of our group is going to be able to enjoy the premium beverage package included. And so I figure we should definitely look at that.
Yeah.
And then I also want to look at the ultimate premium or whatever the upgraded one is, because I'm getting that.
Yeah.
And I think other people should as well. But let's take a look first and foremost at the premium beverage package.
Oh, yeah. So, make it grow.
Enjoy a wide selection of soft drinks, beers, spirits, cocktails, wines by the glass, and bottled or draft beer up to and including $15 during your entire cruise. So what that means is you can get any drink you want as long as it's $15 or under.
Yes.
You're good to go.
Like, let's see.
If it's over $15, then you're just paying the difference.
Right.
So let's start with the beers and ciders. James, take us away.
Can you make that bigger for me?
Sure. Hold on. Maybe. How's that?
That's perfect. I like it. Oh, let's see. Let's go. Okay. So we got, Angry Orchard. That's a good one. Blue Moon. One of my favorites. We got, Bud Light and Regular. Okay. If they have Platinum, then we'll talk. We got Coors Light, Corona Light, and Extra. We got Dos Equis. I'm hoping they have the amber because I'm not a fan of the. Oh yeah, there it is. Dos Equis Lager. Never mind. Then we got Goose Island IPA. That's actually I've had a sip of that. It's okay. Heineken and Heineken Light. We got Lagunitas Little Something. That's actually a strong IPA there. We got Michelob Ultra. Spit that out. Modelo Especial.
That's a good one.
Molson. Yeah, that's a good one, but I've never heard of.
You've never heard of Molson?
No.
That's okay. You're not going to have any.
Okay. Then we have, I might have to try it just because. But there's Newcastle Brown. That's.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's good.
Peroni.
Peroni? What is that one?
It's an Italian beer, I believe.
Okay. Might have to give that a try just because. And then we have Pilsner.
Urquell.
Urquell. Never heard of that one either. Oh, and then Red Stripe.
I know that Tyrus is going to get down on some Red Stripe.
Red Stripe. That's a Jamaican beer. I remember after I saw those commercials, I used to get that when we would be out at the club. I haven't had it in a while, so it'd be good to maybe give that a try. Sam Adams. I wonder if that's the seasonals or if that's just regular Sam Adams. Either way, I'd be okay. And then Strongbow, which is a great cider. I had that when I was in London a number of years ago. And then four plus brands on draft. So,
yeah. And those just rotate depending on what ship and where it's out of. And yeah. You know, Tyrus calls out the Molson. It's a Canadian beer. Again, okay. It's basically think like Michelob Ultra, but it's Canadian.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. So I'm going to hit up the whiskey, brandy, and other spirits because that's one of the areas that I like to live in.
Yeah.
So you've got Bullet Kentucky Straight, Canadian Club, Chivas Regal 12-year, some Crown Royal, Dwyer's White Label, Fireball Cinnamon. Mm-hmm. I like me some shots of Fireball.
Yep.
You got some Glenmorangie Original Single Malt. That's a good one.
All right.
Jameson, naturally.
Yep.
Jack Daniels, naturally. Jack Daniels Tennessee Honey.
I have to try that one because I haven't.
Might have to have some hot toddies out on the deck when we're cruising around the glaciers.
Yes, sir.
Jim Beam Kentucky Straight.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Walker Black, Johnny Walker Red, Monkey Shoulder Blended Malt. Haven't heard of that one. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
Seagram 7, Seagram's VO, Hennessy VS, Harvey's Bristol Cream. I have no idea what that is, but I kind of want to try it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even a whiskey brandy drink or whatever, but I kind of want to have try that too.
Hidalgo Reserva 12-year Spanish brandy. Have never had it, but I've heard it's really good.
Okay.
St. Remy VSOP. So for those of you, Remy.
Yeah.
Sandman Founders Reserve Porto. Again, never had it. Heard it's pretty good. And their Tawny Porto as well. Tabanero Pisco Puero. No clue. TOPP Spanish Sherry. Gekkaian Sake. I love me some sake. So, Momokawa Pearl Sake. 1800 Reposado. So, of course, we're getting into some tequilas here. Yep. 1800 Silver. Casadoras Blanco is actually a decent one. Jose Cuervo Gold. Los Corolas Silver. Zsa Zsa Ha Ha Blanco. And Patron Silver.
Oh, wow. That's the Patron Silver's on the regular list. Okay.
All right, James, you want to hit us up with some gin and vodkas?
Sure thing. We got, of course, we got that Beefeaters, that London Dry. We got that Bombay Sapphire, Tanqueray, special. We got, it looks like we got a couple Absolutes. So we got regular Absolute and Citron. We got, what is that, Belvedere?
Mm-hmm.
Kettle One.
I'm surprised that's on here because Belvedere is high end.
Okay. And we got some Kettle One, some Krakus Polish Vodka, Grey Goose, Russian Standard.
We ain't touching that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on the ship. They might have got rid of that. But we got that Sky. I wonder if they have the... So if it's just Sky, I don't know if they have the...
flavors.
Yeah, flavors, yeah.
Cherry Infused is my jam, so if they got it.
Let's well, because on the rum, I'm looking at the Bacardi, and it looks like they got a number of different ones there. But you got the Smirnoff, the Stoli, the Stoli Vanilla, Tito's Handmade, and the Voli 305.
Tyrus calls out, nothing beats a Jameson, Bailey's, and coffee with cream on a cold day.
If I liked coffee, we might be able to talk about that. But yikes.
Let's hit up let's hit up some rum.
Yo, I've never even heard of Captain Morgan White.
Atlantico Platinum, Bacardi 8, Bacardi Black, Bacardi Limon, Bacardi Oakheart, Bacardi Superior, Brugal Anejo, Captain Morgan Spiced, Captain Morgan White, Flor de Cana, Gosling's Black Seal, Malibu Coconut,
naturally. Malibu.
It's a cruise. Makes sense.
Seriously easy.
Mount Gay Eclipse. Meyer's Original Dark. Pussers.
Wow.
Zacapa Ambar.
All right. And then we got some liqueurs. And so that's what?
Aperol.
Aperol. Yeah. Okay. Averna. B&B. We got Bailey's Irish Cream. Borgana's Original Irish Cream. I can't read that one.
Bottega Limonosina. Oh.
And then we got Chinola Passion Fruit Liqueur.
Campari.
Campari.
Sadilla Asai.
Acai. Okay. And then we got that Cointreau. Amaretto.
Di Serrano.
Di Serrano Amaretto. Drambuie. Yikes. Drambuie. How do you say
Debonair Rouge?
Debonair Rouge. Ferent Branca?
Fernet Branca.
Okay. Frangelico. Some banana. Grand Marnier.
Wait, did you say banana? Frangelico is hazelnut. It tastes like chocolate.
Hazelnut? I thought I never really drank Frangelico. That's why I'm saying I thought it was banana something.
Get out of here.
I'm sorry, my bad. That's what I just remember something about that. Anyways, Grand Marnier, Jaeger.
Jaeger bombs.
Jaeger. That's how you know your night's going to go bad. Kahlua. Is that Liqueur 43?
Liquor 43, yeah.
Liquor 43, okay. And then, is that Pernod? Prim Number 1, Rumchata, Southern Comfort, and Tuaca?
Tyrus, if you like that with your coffee, you're going to want some Tuaca with coffee. I think you would really enjoy that. Tuaca coffee and Bailey's is really good as well. Yeah, that used to sell on the reg at some of the bars I've ran. And there's hundreds of cocktails, 20 wines by the glass, sodas, tonics, and juices, all included in this package. So there's a lot going on there. Yeah. But there is an elite level.
Elite.
There is a level that includes all of that.
Plus.
And so much more.
Wait, there's more.
James, take us through the rums and tequilas, if you would.
All right. It looks like we got some
Pirate Cask
1623 rum. We got some I've never even heard of some of these.
Zacapa
23 rum, Wyland Ultra Premium rum. Is that Casadores?
Yep.
I can't. What's that? F.
And Yeho?
I can't even. It's a little small on here. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Here, let me make that a little bit bigger for you.
There we go. Yeah, perfect. And then we got some Gracias o Dois Mezcal?
Gracias a Dios, mezcal.
Okay. Then we got, Don Julio. So Don Julio Blanco, Don Julio Reposado, Patron Reposado, and Patron and Añejo?
That's correct.
Okay.
Some gins and vodkas. We got the Tanqueray 10, Hendrix of Scotland, the Botanist Islay Dry, Siroc, and the Ultimate.
All right. And then we got on that Scotch and Whiskey bourbon line, we got that Dewar's 12, the Ancestor Blend of Scotch. We got Gentleman Jack Tennessee. We got Glenfitch Select, Woodford Reserve, Glenlivet Single Malt. Was that Talisker 10?
Mm-hmm.
You got, is that Booker's?
Booker's Kentucky.
Booker's Kentucky. And then you got that Glenfitch Reserve, Johnny Walker Premium, Platinum label. Blah, blah, blah. You got that
Macallan Quest.
Macallan Quest. Sounds like a journey. Paul John Indian Single Malt and Whiskey Pig Whistle Pig Rye. I've heard of Whistle Pig. I heard that's really good.
I'm excited to try that one. We've got some cordials, brandies, and cognac. Patron XO Cafe. So that's a coffee. One, right? Yeah, it's a coffee tequila. Chambord Black Raspberry. Saint Germain Elderflower. Armagnac Clé de Deux VSOP. Cavassier.
Pass the Cavassier.
Remy Martin 1738 and Remy Martin VSOP.
What does VSOP stand for?
It's very serious only people. No, I have no idea.
That actually sounds pretty good.
So let's do some wines by the bottle. I'll handle these since you're having a hard time there. So we've got Chandon, California. Nicolas Fulliet, Rosé, Nevada.
Champagne.
France. From Champagne, France.
Yeah.
Oh. It can only be called a champagne if it's from Champagne, France.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yep. Veuve Clicquot, yellow label. That's some high-end champagne.
All right.
Chateau Saint-Michel and Dr. Lucin, Ericola Riesling from Columbia Valley, Washington. Pascal Jolivet, Clos de Roy from Lori, France. Hampton Water Rose by Bon Jovi.
Oh. Rosé.
Louis Jadot Paulet Fusé Burgundy, France. Isabel Mondavi Chardonnay from California. VSOP, according to Tyrus, is very superior old pale.
Okay.
So thank you for that, Tyrus. Terrazas de los Andes Reserva, another Chardonnay from Argentina. Il Boro Salvatore Ferragamo, the Lame, Tuscany, Italy. Louis Jadot Burgundy from France. Terrazas de los Andes Reserva, Melbach from Argentina.
Argentina.
Il Boro Salvatore Fermaggia Pian di Nova, IGT, Tuscany, Italy. Simi Cavernet Sauvignon Alexander Valley, California. Spellbound Petit Syrah, California. Federico Paternina Banda Roja Reserva Doca Rojo Roja, Spain.
Oh, there you go.
Dogliota Lotti Barolo Dogson, Italy. Louis Renaud Chateauneuf du Pape Rojon, France.
You know, I'm just thinking, and 40% off.
Yes, 40% off on all wine by the bottle. Mm-hmm. Wine by the bottle, wine and spirit experiences, tasting and flights.
Oh. Okay. So, I mean, you know, I'm looking at all this and I'm like, you know what? I don't even know if I really need all that.
No, and you may not. Yeah. You know, by all means, it's up to each individual person. For me, I want to drink some of those high-end things.
I feel you. So, like, but I mean, for me, I'm looking at it as
You're going to be drinking beer.
I'm a beer drinker. And so, yeah, I'm definitely, like, And I'm definitely down to try some of those other, like some of the stuff that we had on that main list. I'm okay with that. I'm definitely down to try some of that stuff that I've never had before. But overall, I don't really see myself needing to upgrade due to the fact that, you know, some of that stuff, yeah, it might be nice, but you know, I don't really need it.
Yeah. Like I said, to each their own. For me, yeah. I want to drink that high end stuff.
I understand. So. I feel you that dude. And I mean, how much is
my 40th birthday? So you know,
absolutely. So how much is that one? How much
it's
is
an extra $250?
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, and I know you. So you're gonna get that $250 out of that.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, when you think about it, that's, you know, it's less than $50 a day that we're on the cruise.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna fully take advantage of it. And I'm gonna.
Would you say you're gonna be in a perpetual buzz the entire time?
Perpetual state of buzzness. That's right.
Yes, sir. Oh man.
Well, I think it's time to shut her down.
Shut her down. Yeah.
You hey. You got any closing thoughts?
Nah, man. You know, just let's get out there. Let's love each other, man. Make sure we're taking care of each other out there. It's getting a little crazy, so let's make sure we spread the love.
As the Black Eyed Peas once said, where is the love?
Boom.
Boom. I don't know. Boom.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot going on out there. So, you know, hey, whenever something gets you down, just keep your head up.
Well, you know, up until your closing thoughts, it was real and it was fun. But you just made it not real fun.
Man, I'm just trying to be real out here, man. We gotta use this platform. Spread that love.
No one wants your love, James.
Hey, I know. It's all good.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. And yes. We'll be back in a week.